From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Red, boys and girls. Another week where we'll do our damnedest to find some oddball news, some sideways news, and generally entertain you as well. My name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains here in Slovakia, in a town called Poprad, and there's a bit of snow, and unfortunately it's raining at the moment, which is rather bizarre because it was 23 as I drove in to the office this morning in the car, and I'm wearing shorts, and it's now raining. Marvellous. On the zit of the nose of Europe, it's none other than Lee Banks.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Why are you wearing shorts, and why is it raining? Because you're wearing shorts.
Well, I don't know, but it was very hot this morning, so I thought I'll wear shorts.
It's not raining out of your shorts, is it?
No. Oh, no. Stop it.
I'm just checking at your age, you know.
You should know the answer to that one, then, being older than me. Also, joining us, as always, is the one of the founders of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander in Paris.
Yeah, well, hi there. And it's pretty grey here, but it's warmer than 23. And for those people who are not in Europe, maybe we ought to explain that 23 means 23 centigrade. We're not talking about 23 Fahrenheit.
No.
In which case, it would be extremely cold. So it's quite warm over here.
Yes, it is.
Which
indeed.
Is the hottest then, Fahrenheit or
centigrade? They're the same.
Depends on what the temperature is.
Well, how can it be the same?
Well, they're the same.
He's just explained it.
Well, if it's hot in Fahrenheit, it's hot in centigrade.
Where is Fahrenheit? It's hot, it's hot here. I don't know if it's hot in Fahrenheit.
It's not in the Falklands, is it?
It ain't our fault.
I have a story about the Falklands, I tell you.
Yeah, we started.
Something happened to me in the Falklands.
Well, we started about
it. I know. I'd heard about it from the back.
Oh, my word.
I did feel a bit sheepish. You must have.
No. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio. Wonderful people on Audioboo, which is growing again. So thank you for the new subscribers to that service. And, of course, Mark for looking after us on there. And the nice people on RTI FM. And I have to say, yet another month where it's growing again on the live stream that goes out 24/7. So welcome one and all, wherever you are in the world. And hi to Henry down in Australia, who was waxing lyrical about some stuff we were doing the other day as well. Thank you very much indeed.
What was he waxing?
Waxing lyrically.
Oh, he was singing while he was doing it, was he?
No. Sometimes I despair with you, Red Sops. let's get on to some news. Apparently, the UK is arrogant. No.
Yeah, fair as a thought.
Yes, absolutely not.
We are not an arrogant race.
Stupid woman.
We are a stupid woman race.
This is according to the president of Argentina, one Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner. It's a bit German, ooh, isn't it? She's called Britain arrogant for refusing to negotiate on our Falklands. I mean, the Falklands. She was speaking a day after the UK Prime Minister, David Cameron, said the issue of sovereignty was not negotiable.
May I just say something here,
I
think could end this story now, this instant.
Uh-huh.
I had an incident, right, recently, as you're well aware, with one of my neighbours.
Yes.
Who thought that just because he wanted it, he could have some of my land. He tried to beg it, he tried to steal it, and he tried to borrow it.
Right.
Right? And I just said, get lost, it's my land. So what's the difference?
Well, yes, true. Anyway, on the PR stunt that Cristina Fernandez...
Oh, just carry it on, then.
...de Kirchner has played...
I thought it was a very interesting point.
Yeah, thank you. I agree. apparently, James Peck was handed his national identity by President Fernandez during a ceremony to mark the 29th anniversary of the end of the Falklands War. Mr. Peck, of course, lived in the Falklands, but now he's got Argentinian nationality.
Yeah.
That was the stunt that she pulled on the 29th anniversary of the Falklands War.
The simple fact is, it's ours.
Well, maybe he did want to become Argentinian. Maybe he did want to become Argentinian, but it would certainly be interesting to speak to Mr. Peck and find out what the entire story is.
I wonder what his bank balance looked like.
Well, that could be very unfair on Argentina, couldn't it? But, I mean, certainly it does seem that the majority of people, or maybe everybody there, wants to stay British. And I have to say that if that's what they want to do, then that seems to me to be very reasonable.
Well, actually, they had a referendum about it recently, don't you?
Oh, did they?
Yes, there was a referendum in the Falklands, and they said we want to stay British, which I kind of guess ruined the whole thing. But the president has been out there sort of conjuring up, or trying to tap everybody up for about sovereignty. And she's referring to the Americans, who she, I can clearly see, she thinks is going to help them out, because they refer to the Falkland Islands using the Argentinian name, the Malvinas.
Yes.
Mm, so that's indicating that the US are going to support. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, I have a real feeling it's not going to happen. So anyway, the arrogance of the British is being emulated beautifully on postcard from Poprad these days. The Falklands belong to us. President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that'll be another.
And of course, I think it'll depend on whether France sends
sandwiches.
Them, yeah. Whether France sells them some more Mirage jets and some Exocet missiles to establish their stake.
Absolutely. This is going.
Can I tell you my little story about the Falklands?
If you wish.
It was actually my very first appointment as a war reporter for the National Press of the UK to go out to the Falklands.
Really?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what happened. It was amazing.
No.
In those days,
the answer is no.
The answer is in this answer. What I'm trying to give you at this particular moment.
Right. Go on, then.
So, do you remember, Mr. Eric, in the past when we were both famous journalists?
Yes.
That you used to have a little suitcase with a spare set of clothes in it, some cash, and your passport, just in case you got the call.
You got the call.
Mm.
You got the call, yeah. And anyway, I'd been on holiday just before the war in the Falklands started with my ex-wife-to-be. And as holiday romances between man and wife don't always work out, we were very friendly when we got back, and I wasn't allowed to return to the marital home by her, not by the police, by her.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, then I got the call.
Aha.
So I got my little suitcase and everything, because what we had to do, you had to get to, I think it was Bryce Norton, and then you got on one of those big troop carrying aircraft things, right? And you had to fill the forms in while you were there. This is how simple it was. It wasn't anything like it is now. And fly out there. So I went, opened my little bag, no passport. Little wife next to me would still got it. So I went around to the house, all full of them, knocked on the door, saying, look, darling, I've got to go to the Falklands. We're famous, we'll make fortunes and everything like that. And she wouldn't give me my passport back.
Oh, that's not nice, is it?
So I didn't get to the Falklands.
Oh, well, never mind, eh? Never mind. Something to make your blood boil, Mr. Banks.
Oh, hang on, then. Let's have a look.
Susan Boyle's life set for stage show. The lady that came second on Britain's Got Talent in 2009, Subo, as she's known, her life story is to be made into a stage musical.
Oh, my God.
Begs the question, why?
Well, why not?
Oh, you sweetie pops. Go on, why should she have that when there's people who've got huge life stories who get nothing?
Well, I mean, you're right. There are lots of people who've got great stories and get nothing. But, you know, there we are. She was lucky to be sort of picked out, and people obviously making money out of her, and she's making money out of herself, I hope. Why not?
Well, apparently...
Listen, go on. No, you carry on there.
Well, apparently she's been described as an inspiring woman.
And she should be... Yeah, right. Listen, there is a simple thing. Me and Mark have fallen out about this before, and this is not a personal attack on Mrs. Boyle, right? Yeah. Although I do think her name...
I bet she inspires a bank manager. That's pretty
sure. She's not Mrs. Boyle, because I don't think she's married. I think she's Mrs.
Exactly
Boyle.
Exactly, there. Another point where I rest my case. The simple fact is, Susan Boyle, and this is not an attack on her personality or her physical attributes or anything like that, has an average voice. She's quite a good singer. You get quite a lot better sometimes down in pubs and at amateur dramatic societies, but she ain't bad. The problem is, and that's why I object to this so much, is that if she didn't look and act the way she did, nobody'd be interested in her.
No, but that's the whole point.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, when she walked on stage the first time and Big Trousers went, oh, my God, what is that? And you could see his face go from, oh, my God, I'm going to hit the buzzer, to, oh, my God, the audience are behind her, I'd better not hit me buzzer. Right.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't happen like that.
I think you'll find it does.
Yeah. Oh, couldn't possibly,
yeah.
This is a man who's made millions out of being mediocre and appealing to mediocrity in a mediocre society. That's exactly what happens.
Mm. But it's funny, that happens in all walks of life, Lee. How many good tennis coaches could you name who've won Wimbledon? How many top-end coaches of Formula One could you name who have won Formula One races?
I don't know many coaches, but there's that one that, carry on, I can't do that.
Anyway, a journalist in Hot Water this week was suggesting that it's going to kill investigative journalism. The BBC
Susan
has got,
Boyle?
No, the BBC has got to apologise to the Primark stores, stop it, over a documentary that was aired on Panorama, which showed boys in a Bangalore clothing workshop working allegedly for Primark. And the BBC Trust have got involved because obviously Primark have been in touch with them. And the Trust has said that it was more likely than not that a scene which shows the boys testing the stitching on Primark's clothes was not genuine. In other words, it was set up by the journalist.
Yeah. I rest my case.
But they found it probably has. I mean, is there actually being an investigation of this particular journalist, whoever it was?
Well, no, but the fact is that the investigation has been carried out by the BBC Trust,
yes.
Why is it wrong for newspapers to investigate themselves and edit themselves and regulate it? But it's fine for the jolly old bean.
Well,
I think you're absolutely right. And I mean, I think that if there's been some wrongdoing thing, I think it's very, very
you're
serious.
You're getting the internet tonight, didn't you?
No, I've got a problem. Because above the BBC Trust is the regulator Ofcom. But
yes, Ofcom. Why haven't Ofcom got involved in this?
Well, that's up to Primark. Primark complained to the BBC Trust, as opposed, I presume, to complaining to Ofcom for some reason. And their case was upheld. And Primark have always stated that their ethical guidelines prohibit the use of child labour in its code of practice for suppliers. I suppose that's quite difficult when you're a million miles away from where the people are. But yes, they can. They could quite easily have gone to Ofcom because it was broadcast on the BBC, and ultimately Ofcom can regulate at that point. But they chose to go through the BBC Trust, which is a gentleman's way of doing it, I suppose. Their complaint was upheld, and so the BBC's now got to apologise.
Well, they've already done it.
Oh, yes, that's true. They were apologising all over the place. But the interesting thing is that the guy who made the programme, Mr. McDougall, actually says, this could be deeply damaging to independent investigative journalism.
Absolutely not. Not a chance, and I'll explain why.
I don't need you to explain, because I totally agree with you.
Yeah, but the ladies and gentlemen don't know what we agree on yet.
Does Mr. McDougall agree that this was staged?
No.
No, he's stolen our stage, Eric.
Very good. No, he reckons it's all real.
Well, I mean, in that case, presumably he can prove his case. But, I mean, it's tremendously damaging to this kind of documentary if this happens.
Yeah,
and the fact that some disciplinary action is taken, you know, is good because maybe it enforces a bit more rigour in what goes on.
No, it doesn't, because it's not really that much of a problem. And that's why it's not actually gone to Ofcom. Because this happens all the time, and I can explain why and how it happens and why it isn't really that heinous. Would you like me to?
Yes.
Go on, then.
Very simply, right? If you go into any war, you see reports from any war zone where there's been a bomb go off or there's been a major motorway crash or a very serious fire, you will always see... This is the honest-to-God truth. It sounds like a joke, but it isn't. Yeah. You'll almost always see either a doll or a teddy bear, right? At the seam of whatever this horrendous tragedy is.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you might see a shoe. Right?
Yeah.
Now, any photographer worth it, or cameraman worth
it. You're going to say
it's
a bit of product placement for Clarks or something.
Well, not what it is. No, they all cameramen and lensmen who are worth the salt carry props with them. And if they get to a war scene or some awful scene where you can't show bodies, you can't show the gore of it, they'll play something there. And it's only a representation of what the story's about. And I believe, I genuinely believe mm-hmm. that in this BBC thing, they couldn't get the film they wanted, so they made a representation of it. And Primark's argument quite could well be true, and that's fine. But that journalist believed in what he was presenting, even though it wasn't absolutely factual.
Yeah. I mean, do you agree with that?
I don't agree with it.
I agree with everything I say.
No, I don't. I think that's
just so right. You're talking to me, that little bag that didn't contain your passport contained a doll and a shoe, and you would have been happy to use it in the Falklands Islands. I mean, I'm just completely shocked.
Well, no, of course I'd be happy to use it. Well, I wouldn't be happy to use it.
Because it's not real.
Well, that's but that doesn't make any difference because you're talking about images. When I write something,
can I just ask a question? There's two types of writing. There's factual and there's fictional in the main, yeah? So, fictional stories are all made up. The news is supposed to be factual. If the teddy bear doesn't belong to an Ethiopian, and you then go to Ethiopia and put one by the side of a bum hole, that is then fiction.
Did you say a bum hole?
Bum hole.
Right. Okay. Yes.
I accept what you're saying, and it is a point where I don't actually find any great ethical difficulty with it, but I do understand your point, yeah. And in fact, there are discussions about it on a regular basis. But the problem is, you have to remember that generally, not 100% of the time, but generally, you arrive at a news event after the event has taken place.
Could be, yes.
And what you do is you look for things that will represent that event. And if at times there's a little bit of enhancement takes place, then yes, it might be wrong. But I tell you what, jeez, I am probably one of the only journalists who will stand up and admit it.
Probably true. Mike,
well, you've done it.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, Microsoft this week has warned about support scams. These were reported on our... Hello, Microsoft! These were reported months ago on RTI, and this week, one of the big tech stories is a survey from Microsoft reveals just how widespread the fake tech support call scam is becoming. Hello! We were here once...
He can't do it.
Oh, I'm just so flipping angry. Because
well, we did it, didn't we? Didn't we do it?
Months ago. Months
it was
ago.
Before the beginning of this year. Yeah, it was last year we did this.
It's and they ridiculous. Finally got on.
What did Microsoft say to me when I phoned them up?
Go on, you say it.
Because the truth is, they said it's nothing to do with us. I said, but it's coming. Oh, this particular one that Eric and I were chasing, I think you were around at that time, Mark. Mm-hmm. The ones we were chasing were actually claiming to be working out of Microsoft offices. And Microsoft said, well, maybe they are. We don't know everybody who's in here. That's and ridiculous. They didn't show any interest because you told me off, Eric. You told me off when this story came out because I said it was disgusting that Microsoft were doing anything about
well,
it.
This is
and now they are.
This is the trouble that, you know, I could go wandering off and say, I'm Lee Banks' manager. And if people wanted to believe me and give me £50 notes to book you, that's not, is it then your problem?
Hmm. If I then go and do the gigs, no, I don't know. I don't know. No, I don't, it's, no, it isn't. But it doesn't. 7 months ago, RTIFM went to Microsoft, told them that there was this problem, and told them that part of this problem was claiming to be working out of their offices in London. Yeah. And they didn't give a tinker's stuff.
Well, you didn't answer my question. If I go wandering around claiming to be Lee Banks' manager, getting £50 notes stuck in my pocket to book it, is it then Lee Banks' problem?
Not my problem, unless you start to share that 50 quid.
See? So it ain't Microsoft's problem either. Nah.
But it was then. But they've admitted now they've had to do something about it. Why didn't they do something about it 6 months ago when we told them?
Because I think we got to some jobs worse. But there you go.
and the next one is absolutely even worse.
Well, they stuck their hands up and admitted to it, so I'll accept that bit. Virgin tackles infected customers. About 1,500 customers of internet service provider Virgin Media have been warned that their PCs are infected with a malicious virus. Ouch. Ouch, 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 ouch. The target customers have fallen victim to the SpyEye Trojan that steals logons for online bank accounts. Letters have been sent to those affected, giving them advice on how to clean up their computers. Marvellous.
I think that's terrible
up,
as well.
Clean up their computers from the Microsoft virus that we've just been...
yeah, probably. Yeah.
But you know what's more frightening about this? And I know I've said this in different ways before, but this really is true. That I believe, despite what I did for a living and what I do in a way, that privacy is the most important thing that we have. Mm. Right, and if you play your cards right and you do everything right, yeah, then nobody will invade your privacy. But now, where your life more or less takes place on your computer, mm-hmm. even Virgin and Microsoft know exactly what you do. I know, but all I'm saying is
no. Let me take you back, because you're two old fellas like me. And so we will remember this many, many, many years ago. There were certain criteria of people who wished to remain private. Yeah. And one of the ways they did it was they could ask for and be honoured, accepted as being not on the electoral register.
Yes,
it's easier than that.
Let me just finish. You could do it officially to give yourself some security. Yeah, but I bet if we were in the listener's home at the minute, they'd be going, "What? What's he talking about?" Because not that many people knew about it.
No.
Yeah. And my point is this: the same issue is coming up on computers, because I wouldn't mind betting, and I've actually looked up SpyEye, by the way, that it will or can be blocked by normally available antivirus software.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you haven't put that onto your computer, then I'm sorry about the problem you've got, but it's no different to that, and it's no different to somebody who's idiotic like me once, who put petrol in a diesel engine. It was my fault, because I didn't know what I was doing with it.
But it's a wider issue than that.
Why?
Because it is, because it's your freedom, it's your privacy, it's your secrecy, it's everything that you hold, it's your...
But I agree with that
unit of life that is being invaded from everywhere.
So don't go on the internet. Simple.
Yeah, but you could do that. Yeah.
So
yeah,
what you're suggesting is a right not to have to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Well, why have you got to protect yourself against?
I mean, unfortunately, you do, because we live when we do, and there are benefits to be had, but unfortunately, there are prices to be paid in return.
Absolutely.
And one has to be prudent. But is there anybody, really, who runs their computer without virus checkers now?
Yes.
Really, there are so many good ones. It's completely free.
I still remain in contact with, and I will say this now, I always prefer people to go to the independent consumer store that's been there for ages rather than a high street shop, because you'll get better service. Mm. And I had great relations with a huge number of independents in London when I worked there. And I still remain in touch with them. And I'll tell you now, if I emailed a handful of them now, said, what's one of the most important jobs you're doing? Well, not necessarily important, but regular jobs that you're doing. They will say, installing some antivirus software to clean up computers that are running slower than a snail because they're infected with viruses.
Really?
Yes.
I know, but there is a simple fact with those, though, Eric, and you can't deny this, mm-hmm. right? Those little... And the big shops do the same, but the little shops on the corner that come and do that for you are all ripping you off and conning you.
No, they're not.
Of course they are. They're running antivirus software on your computer, charging you £30 for it. They downloaded it for free, just like we've downloaded it for free. And they're doing exactly what we could do ourselves. What they're not doing is say, yeah, mate, just download that and it'll sort it out for you.
So when you go into the garage, the blokes, you just say to the bloke, oh, here you are, mate. This is how you put a new timing belt on your car. See you later.
Well, Boris...
Yeah, well, according to you, Mark, that's exactly what would happen, because you're both geniuses. I couldn't do that, no.
But you got the nous to go and find out about it. And all I'm saying to everybody is, don't cry wolf on this if you've got a new computer. For goodness sake, wherever you get it from, ask the shop to explain to you about antivirus on the computer before you go on the internet.
Yes. I think that's perfectly true, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But don't rip everybody off by putting free antivirusware on the computer and charging them £30. That's all I'm saying.
It's just no paying for expertise with you, is it?
You could do it for a tenner, a 15 quid, 30, 40 quid. If you go to the big major stores, 90 quid to stick some free antivirus stuff on your machine.
No. How long does it take for the technician to sit there and ensure that the scan that is done on the computer, how long will that take?
But he could be doing 50 computers at once.
How long does it take?
Yeah, anything up to an hour.
Thank you.
Two hours.
And how much?
The battery's not sitting there for 2 hours inert watching that.
But it's still got to be paid for. And that's one of the biggest issues with new computers. They don't come set up.
You know what? You've got 50 computers, and say you needed, say you need, really, £200 for that day, right? Just for that bloke who's doing that. And he's got 50 computers. So that's £4 a computer to get his 200 quid. But, in fact, what he's actually doing is making something like 1,500 quid.
He'd be a bit of a genius if he could do 50 computers in one day.
Eric, you need to get come into the real world of IT.
I do. I have to work with it all the time. Damn Microsoft this week, hundreds of blasted upgrades. But the thing is, this should be the same as basic stuff on a car. If you want to drive a car, you should know, where to put the stuff in. Ask the bloke who's going to sell it to you, etc.
You've got to pass a test to drive a car. You don't have to pass a test to drive a computer.
No.
You don't have to go and take lessons.
No.
So it's a totally different thing.
I'm just giving a simile out here.
That's a spurious simile.
Simile?
Yeah.
That's a spurious. I like that with jamming it, didn't you?
Stop it, you two. You're hopeless. Love. You just have it. I know what you two have done. You've just fucked each other this morning, and you said, let's be horrible to Eric.
Yeah, because it's about time you stop both being horrible to me.
On that happy note, we'll be back with Duke Nukem and Rioting Canadians, of all things, as we, in part one, are going to part two of Postcard from Bob Brown. We'll be back fast, and you can make that milkshake, have a cup of tea, or even go to that little room in the corner.
RTI.